it seems.
Hey, Dean, what's up?
All is not what it seems.
What do you mean?
Everything is weird.
Do you hear that?
All is not what it seems.
Dean?
I'm here.
What do you mean? All is not what it seems.
I mean, there's a thing.
Uh-huh.
It seems one way.
Yeah.
It's not.
All right.
Okay, let me break it down for you.
Please.
Your shoe.
Yeah.
Could be a phone.
It could be a phone, or
it could be a phone. I'm not saying it is a phone. I'm just saying, like, as an example.
Oh, okay.
Of what isn't what it seems.
I see. Interesting. So what else is not what it seems?
The world.
All. So that's the all in your.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It could be flat.
It could be.
Well, as an example.
Yeah, I mean, but they just proved that.
I know, but like, just like if it were flat,
then it wouldn't be as it seems.
It would not be as it seems.
Or if it were round and we thought it was flat, it would not be as it seems.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would think that, but yeah.
So, this seems like a podcast.
Yes.
But it might not be?
It's possible that it's an advanced way to get your voice on tape to use it for nefarious purposes. Like banking.
Well, that's crazy. I never even considered that before. Do you think we've been, like, unintentionally making ourselves
available?
Yeah. By doing this show?
That is the way it seems, but since it's not the way that it seems,
it might not be it.
It might not be it.
What if? So does this go into space?
Our voices?
Yeah, when we do this?
Like
if you were an alien and you were within, I don't know, some measurable cosmic distance of the planet.
Kilogram.
To the nearest kilogram.
Okay.
Could you hear us right now? And if so, would you know what you were hearing?
I think that you would hear what you assumed would be something, but might not be.
So even the alien would be confused.
The alien, it's not all what it seems. All is not.
It's not, alien.
No.
If you're hearing this...
All is not what it
whatever
seems.
You think this is, it's not.
It's not. When wow. You go to the tailor,
mm-hmm. As I often do,
and you get your trousers hemmed.
Yeah, that's a problem I have. My trousers are usually they're kind of long.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because they have the number when I go to buy them at the store, but I always just... I
think, still a little bit long. It's
what
just,
if I grow a little bit?
It's a distinct measurement, but it's not a measurement for you.
What if I get up tomorrow and my legs are 2 inches longer? I can't add length to my pants.
Not well. You could if you had them hemmed correctly.
Oh, I was thinking. I really only wear jeans. Does that work for jeans?
All is not what it jeans.
All is not what it jeans. Is that the name of... That's going to be the name of my jeans store. All is not what
All
it jeans.
All is not what it jeans.
It's in your jeans. I don't know. I'm just working out names now for my jeans store.
Yeah. Which is a front.
Yeah. Because all is not what it seems.
Because not, all is not what it jeans.
Interesting. Is there any reason you're saying this on this particular podcast?
Oh, I just thought that it was time
that people heard.
I thought that after one season and a second season that's lost, and then like in the midst of the third season, people need to know that there are things going on to which they are not privy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's almost like our desire or like our hobby, but like our obligation.
It is something we are called to do.
We must let them know.
We have to shout it from the rooftops of the crow's nest.
For instance, this seems like it's episode 10 or so of season 3. But it might be season 2.
We don't know.
You never heard season 2.
We don't know.
It was out there in the ether.
The ether has swallowed it.
We don't. It might have followed a
it
might have followed a strange woman into a house.
It might,
season 2.
And then been sucked into some sort of liquid floor.
Yeah. In a windowless, wall-less room while she disrobed. I mean, many seasons have made that mistake in the past.
Sure.
I think season 2 of Downton Abbey, it followed a woman down a relatively ornate staircase.
Yeah. And then suddenly disappeared.
Never heard from it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then season, like, 6 of Lost.
Yeah.
They found it, which is strange.
Yeah. That is weird.
Because it followed another mysteriously attractive woman who had no business, it had no business talking to that woman in the first place.
Not at all.
All the way to a desert island.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of sad.
I was disappointed by
Luckily, that cargo plane found it.
Ugh. Anyway, now that the PSA part of the show is over.
Thank God. Yeah. I never liked PSAs.
I took them in high school and did not do well.
I much prefer their sequel, the PTAs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They really get stuff done.
They do. Yeah. I think it's because it's people working together.
Yeah. It's parents, teachers,
associating with each other.
Yeah.
Are you in a PTA?
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm not a parent.
Or a teacher?
Nope.
Oh. Are you associated with anyone in any way?
Yeah.
So you qualify.
I have associates.
You have a few.
Varied.
I got a few guys.
I got some gays.
I got a guy.
I got some guys. Or as
he's a parent.
As Michael Caine said to me once, I'm Michael Caine. I got some guys.
That's I never get old. Never get tired of hearing that.
No. Once in a while, it just has to
resurface.
Up.
Like every 4 episodes or
something. Yeah. Speaking of Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
He's British.
He's British.
He's like, hello, I'm British, but I'm really Michael Caine.
There it is. It started out a little weird. It didn't sound like him at first.
Yeah, well, he was putting on an accent.
Oh, okay. That was Michael Caine doing an impression.
Yeah, doing an impression of a British
Have you ever
person.
Heard Michael Caine do Michael Caine? It's impeccable.
I bet it sounds just like him.
Yeah, it does. It's spooky.
That is spooky.
I'd never think that, but, you know, he does the best imitation he can of himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he and Ben Folds.
Of course. R.I.P. Ben Folds. Oh, wait, no, he's still alive.
No, he's with us. Sorry. He's with. Well, he's not here with us.
Yeah, I was under the impression that he had folded. And
oh, I see, yeah. Just laundry.
I misunderstood, yeah.
Just laundry.
Oh, man. Did you ever see a movie and it wasn't what it seems?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I pick up a movie and I go, this seems interesting. And then it's not at all.
You ever, the other opposite ever happen? You ever pick a movie, think this won't be good?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Me, and that's never happened to
that
me.
That you lie.
Well, the problem is I pigeonhole myself into only seeing movies that I think will be good.
Yeah.
And so it's rare that.
Yeah. You've never been forced to watch a movie that you were like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And then it turned out well.
I've been forced to watch a lot of movies that I said this was going to be terrible, and then I came to the same conclusion.
It was correct.
Yeah. You know, Hollywood, people in Hollywood got to pay their bills just like everybody else.
You know, Hollywood is like the one place where everything is as it seems.
It is. Yeah, I mean, if I was going to say the least superficial, least fake place on the planet, Hollyweird.
Holly and the berries?
What kind of wood is Hollywood made? Like, is it, what family of tree is it from?
Deciduous.
Okay.
It's a deciduous tree.
Yeah.
Probably an oak or...
Are oaks deciduous?
A poplar.
I have no idea.
Yeah, right? Deciduous and conifers.
Oh, I was thinking of a conifer.
Oh, a lot of needles.
Yeah. Jennifer Conifer Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was in that. She played an Ent in Lord of the Rings, I think.
Yeah. She was in the Moot. In the Ent Moot.
the Entmoot. She played Groot. No, I was surprised she wasn't cast as Groot.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's got the she's got what you might call the heritage to be playing.
That's a problem with Hollywood. They don't cast enough. You know, there's a lot of tree actors out there, and when they have a tree part, they cast a guy who is as dumb as an oak. Maybe.
Yeah, that usually is the way it goes.
Yeah, there's. I'm surprised there isn't some kind of an organization.
Which, by the way, that is a horrible thing to say.
Mm.
Dumb as an oak?
Yeah, it's true.
The oaks take a lot of offense to that.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't use the word offense around them, though.
Oh, no. They don't have fences.
Yeah, they that's yeah. That doesn't go so well.
Especially if it's like growing into them. And, ugh.
Yeah, it's no good.
Yeah. Hey, watch this movie.
Yeah? What movie?
It was on the Amazon's Prime.
I thought it was a movie on the Amazon's. I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, it was a movie about the Amazon's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like Amazonian women.
Sure.
My type.
Yeah. No, this has a lady.
All right. That covers some movies. Not very many, but there's a few.
Yeah. It was on Amazon Prime. It has a lady, and you may recognize her as my celebrity crush.
Okay. So that would be, let me see if I can guess
it. Let's take some guesses.
Mm.
We're going to the phones to take some guesses.
Man, let's start with the obvious. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
Sally Field.
Of course.
Not Flying Nun Sally Field.
No. We're talking
Mary Todd Lincoln Sally Field, I think.
That's the one.
Whew.
I mean, I just wanted.
Melted me out of my seat.
I just wanted to buy her a box of chocolates and. Just be like, hey, Sally, what's up?
And you'd sally forth.
Yeah. We would sally forth into a field of fun.
What else?
That's a good one.
I mean, that's why I said I started with the obvious.
Yeah.
I think we want to go to the less obvious.
Sure.
You know, the people that, like, maybe it's kind of like, being attracted to her is kind of like a niche thing. You know, it's not for everybody, but there's a few people who are, like, really into it. Let's see. Who else is up there? I mean, Betty White, for sure.
Yeah, you know, she's got some appeal. I can see why people would feel that way about her. To me, she's a little too much of a sex pot.
Yeah, if you're going to use, like, one word to describe her, that would be an adjective, but also maybe a color, what would it be?
Raunchy.
Yep, that's exactly, that's what I mean, that's, you hit it on the nose, that's what I would have thought as well. All right, let's get a little bit more niche here.
Okay, all right, I'm ready. So far, you've listed some good ones, but you're really dancing around.
Yeah, I think, you know, taking a little from here, taking a little from there. All right, let's go real niche. Let's go with somebody that you know, only like maybe 1% of the world's male population is attracted to, but like really attracted to her.
Okay. Okay.
Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. I mean, not my type, but I mean, some guys,
it's like,
that's their thing.
It's like, come on. It's like, you think good looks are what's going to get you ahead in this industry?
I know, right?
And
it's silly.
And talent, acting, like that's something that anyone would want.
So you didn't tell me did any of those, were there one of those?
None of those.
Those are the only ones that I could think of.
Yeah,
who've been in movies.
I know. My celebrity crush in this movie. I guess I'll just say it.
Please do. We're in suspense here.
All right. It's Dougie McConnell.
Dougie
McConnell listed as pickup man in this movie.
Oh, well, you know, Dougie, he's got a lot going for him.
Well, he had a pickup.
He did have a pickup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, when you ask women, what do you look for most in a man?
A pickup.
Pickup.
Mm-hmm.
Number one every time.
Yeah. Number two is financial security.
Yeah. But number one is a pickup, because if you have a pickup and financial security, you're set.
There's nothing else. I mean, and I think it goes.
I think it's selfish to want more than that.
It stands to reason, by the way, that if you have a pickup, you're probably like a really nice person. You have a great sense of humor. Yeah. So it just kind of goes with the whole package, right? Yeah. So they don't have to worry about that sort of thing.
So let's see. If you're talking about Dougie McConnell,
mm-hmm.
and he was a pickup man.
Yeah.
I think you're probably talking about Under the Skin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. You have a deep knowledge of Mr. McConnell's filmography.
You know, it's okay. I mean, it's not, he's just getting started, you know, like maybe he'll work his way up and he'll get to be driver number two at some point,
right.
or, you know, pizza delivery guy. Maybe he'll even have, you know, something a little bit more substantial, like head chef or something
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like one of those romantic comedies about like, you know, cooking or something like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can only see this going up for him.
It's sky's the limit.
Yeah.
For Dougie.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
unfortunately, there's no photograph on IMDb. So
well, not yet.
You can't know what this guy looks like, but
you have to watch the movie.
All right.
And you know what? It's about what's under the skin. And that's what the movie told us, you know?
It's true.
It does happen to also star Scarlett Johansson. I mean, she's got a pretty big part in the movie.
She's big part.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Her hair. She's like, got a.
She got. She just parts it right down the center.
It's big.
Sometimes on the side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Under the Skin.
From this movie, what I can gather is women are crazy. Is that what the central thesis of the movie is?
I think that's a metaphor, maybe, that this movie is trying to get at.
What's a metaphor?
I don't know. What's a metaphor you?
Ha! You got what I was doing there.
Yep.
But,
So.
yeah, so she has a van, which, you know, it's not a pickup, but it's serviceable.
You know, she happens to pick up a lot with
she does.
That van.
She so. Does. Drives around, talks to a lot of guys who I think are speaking another language. I couldn't understand them.
You know, it was really difficult.
Yeah.
It you know, maybe if Michael Caine were here.
Right.
He could decipher for us.
I mean, she'd pick up Michael Caine in an instant, I'm sure.
Who wouldn't pick up Michael Caine?
And then
man's a legend.
Then she takes him to this kind of spa, I think it is. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like this really dark, like sensory deprivation spa. You know, she disrobes so that they feel comfortable taking their clothes
disrobing
off.
Disrobing themselves.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because it's always awkward if you're the only one taking your clothes off. I mean, we've all been there.
Right.
You know. And so then they walk into this spa and they get this spa treatment. You know, it's like it removes a couple, most of the skin, I think.
I think the idea is that it kind of just, like takes all the things that aren't necessary from beneath the skin.
Yes.
And leaves only the skin.
Ah, oh, okay. I was confused. Yeah. So it removes all the unnecessary things and leaves the skin.
Right.
Then she goes back out, does it again.
Yep.
At some point, she decides to go off the reservation, as they say, and is, I don't know, just trying to find out more about the world. And
yep.
gets confused and attacked and I don't know.
Yeah, it's some weird stuff going on here.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of people who usually have
opinions.
Pretty good opinions about, well, even good ones.
Well, you know what they say about opinions.
What do they say about opinions?
They're only a day old and a dollar short.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Well, these ones definitely were a dollar short.
Mm-hmm.
They, I don't know. I liked this movie, but
it was fine.
I got the sense that I wasn't getting something.
Right.
Maybe there was more to it. I should have. I don't know. But she's an alien, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I mean, or some kind of weird creature we've never encountered.
I mean, we don't find out until the end, right?
Right.
At the end, we were like, oh, okay, so she was like this creature.
Wearing skin.
Wearing skin.
Yeah.
For the purpose of harvesting more skin?
Yeah. Or who knows? Maybe they didn't care about the skin. They cared about the other stuff. They kind of gave you the impression they were getting rid of that other stuff. But
maybe they were sucking that stuff out of it.
Yeah.
To use.
For raw material or something. And there's this weird
chute.
they had a shoot that it all went down, and yeah. there was like these weird guys in motorcycle bikes, motorcycles and bike gear, and they were motorcycling around cleaning stuff up, and like, I don't know, I got the sense that this movie was supposed to be some comment on like male sexuality or something.
Yeah.
And I just didn't maybe get it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was.
It stuck with me. I still keep thinking about it, but I don't know if it's just because I'm trying to figure it out, or although I do have to say, a lot of these like monster movies and stuff, they show you the monster in like the first act, and it's like, come on, that's
yeah.
what the movie's about,
right?
You suspect she's a monster the whole time. You see her club yeah. a dude with a rock,
yeah,
you know,
but you don't see it until the very end, which I appreciate that about it, I suppose.
Yeah, and I, that was a kind of a cool like.
Reveal. Yeah, because we don't really know what she is.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she is.
She doesn't know what she is.
It seems, right?
Yeah, I think she's freaked out by it.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird. I didn't actually like the motorcycle guys seemed to know what was going on.
Oh, they knew everything.
So,
but they seem to be facilitating everything.
Right. So it was like weirdly like if you're let's say she's an alien for sure.
She's an alien.
There we said it.
Yeah. Whatever.
She needs. Raw material from humans somehow.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't probably even really know what she's doing, I think. She knows she's got to, like, lure them back.
Yes.
She never really... She lets one of them go, and that is like, no, shouldn't do that.
Yeah, but that's, like, the turning point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Where she's starting to develop empathy or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think there was something about that particular guy.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, he's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So... I don't know.
And I don't know why she particularly chose that guy over the other guys. Some of the other guys seemed, you know, sort of like, I don't know, leering.
Sure.
And some of them just seemed like nice guys.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
There wasn't a common theme, except that they were usually single and had no family.
Yeah, she always made sure that no one would know.
Yeah.
Right?
So they don't want to be discovered. They're trying to... You know, I guess harvest stuff, but it makes it seem like the guys in the motorcycles are really controlling stuff, but they can't, they themselves can't really be successful. So they're using her to do it.
Yeah. Didn't it seem like, at the beginning of the movie, you see a guy in a motorcycle go
yep.
retrieve the dead body
of a girl. Mm-hmm.
Then you see Scarlett Johansson assume the position of that girl.
Yeah, take her clothes and everything.
Yeah. yeah.
She's not dead, though. She's crying.
Right.
In that scene.
Yeah. yeah. And then the motorcycle guys at the end can't seem to find Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
So what I understood that to be was the one they retrieved was the previous model.
It was one that had gone off the yeah. reservation as well.
And somehow they were able to track that one.
Yep.
How come they can't track this one? It yeah. was, I don't know. I yeah. don't know how.
But it didn't, so here's the thing about these types of movies.
Okay.
I sometimes feel like they make movies, I'm going to name some names.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say.
Have you now, or should you ever be?
Not in that.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'm going to say Terrence Malick is one offender.
Oh, T-Mal.
T-Mal. Where the idea, and I'm going to say, Darren Aronofsky, maybe?
Oh, D-Air.
Where they sometimes make a movie, it's real pretty.
Sure.
It's usually got some nice narration.
This movie's pretty.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very well done. That's why I see some parallels here.
Yep.
Lots of stuff, lots of scenes, lots of things said
Ugh.
That maybe aren't related. And then you
to
go,
anything?
And then yeah, and then when you're done, you just go.
I suppose I'm supposed to like this.
Yeah, all the critics like it. Tree of Life got nominated for Best Picture.
Bunch of stuff. Yeah,
there's a dinosaur inexplicably in the middle of that movie.
I did not see it because I have taste.
Yeah, but a lot of people with supposed taste, they like this stuff, and it always seems to me like they're having the last laugh. I just
yeah.
picture them with big bags of money around them in a room laughing. Totally.
Yeah.
Like, if
that's,
I make
that's
this,
how they would laugh.
If I make this ambiguous enough, if I make it pretty but ambiguous and seemingly deep, people will just imbue their own meaning on it, very postmodern.
Yep.
And they'll just go, oh, yeah, give this guy more money, lots of awards. Why give this other guy money to make a movie that might make sense? Let this guy make more. I didn't think this movie was that way. I think it had a lot of those elements, but I think that the filmmaker was trying to actually say something with
it. I think I just don't think I got behind it. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that maybe, you know, on second watching, or if I read the writings of someone who's a little bit more, you know, tuned into this kind of stuff than I am, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think would possess a person to a person of Scarlett Johansson's billable nature?
Yeah, to make this movie.
I
mean, she's obviously part of the big, you know, she's part of Avengers. She's part of all these big, she makes money.
But she's always done sort of independent films.
I think that's what it is. Think it's that, you know, look, I cut my teeth on, you know, Lost in Translation. Yeah. Kind of a, you know, indie movie that got some cred.
Yep.
Whatever. This one got a lot of cred from the indie people. I think that she makes those big ones so she can do these different roles, these weird roles.
Yeah. Maybe she was just, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I mean, she is the one that really gets to experience something.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that was enough of a pull. I don't know. It's interesting. How did you feel about the soundtrack?
Didn't even notice it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it like all the way through.
Mm.
And I'm not very versed in horror films.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I don't care for them, never have.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I've never seen one, but the soundtrack to this felt very menacing to me.
Yeah,
very horror filmic,
mm-hmm.
for horror film-esque. I took a little clip. This is from the beginning. Now, the beginning of this movie is like a 5 to 10 minute overture,
mm-hmm.
of weird sounds and weird like eyeball metaphors
with like her voice.
Yeah, with her voice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me play you what I have here. Yeah, that's and that's about all I can take. Okay, so on second listen, when I went to pull this clip, because I was just looking for the music, because I wanted to talk about, like, the music is really menacing-y.
Yeah, sure. I think that's way intentional. I mean, the whole
definitely.
Movie is supposed to make you
definitely
be like, what the heck is going on?
But this underscored almost everything, and anything that wasn't underscored with this was silent.
Yeah.
So it was like,
that's not uncommon in horror movies.
It was very like late on, but when I went to pull this clip, what I noticed was that she's essentially learning to speak here.
Yes, that's I
did not pick that up.
There's images of like her, of like eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was thinking she's like being birthed or something.
Yeah.
Like that's what's happening. She's becoming.
Yeah.
A human.
I assume she was being created at that point too. Yeah.
So that's, I think, because she's like, na, 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 ba, ba, ba. Like,
yeah,
like
she's doing all,
like,
the cognates.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's intended. And I mean, I do think like a lot of horror films, I would kind of consider the sci-fi, but it's kind of sci-fi horror. Like, we don't know their purposes. We don't know what they're trying to do. We just know that they're, you know, they're harvesting,
they are there,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're here. They're doing something. I mean, what I thought was most interesting is that she didn't know. Like she did this thing. She did it very well.
Well, she was a drone, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a drone, and I think she became self-aware.
I think that's what it is, too. Yeah. And I don't know if it's... It seems like it's a common problem for them. Like, maybe they just know this happens. Like, they're just like, well, no, eventually...
That's why they have the motorcycles.
Yep. We keep making new ones and keep sending them out. And if you think of it like a hive mind, they're the ones that have to take care of, you know, the cleanup and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and they all look kind of, those motorcycle guys all look kind of similar.
Yeah,
so I think
they're all
that
wearing
was,
kind of a similar outfit. And
yeah. So it's kind of a, it's kind of an interesting, you know.
What if that's what it is? What if this is like a big metaphor for like some sort of insect species that we're not aware of?
It's possible.
You know, that that's what the filmmaker was saying. Hey, look at this. You know, here's like, here's a harvester. Here's a, here's
right.
the cleanup crew. Here's they're getting resources to maintain the yeah.
For all you know, they could have literally just picked like bees. I don't know anything about bees.
Right.
And just been like, all right, what if instead of like harvesting honey or like luring other insects back to their nest, they just did it with humans? You
yeah.
know? Like animals are a good source of weird stuff for movies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I'm gonna write my own screenplay based on that idea. Because there are animals that can control other animals, or insects that can control other insects, or secrete certain types of venom. And if you just envision a giant insect doing that to a human,
that's
you got
terrifying.
A sci-fi movie
yep.
right there. Yeah, exactly. And humans are not, we're basically an apex predator. We're not afraid of anything because we can kill like,
right.
everything we're aware of.
Yep.
Or things that we are aware of that maybe we couldn't, they don't bother us. You
right.
know? So like
we stay away.
Yeah, we just know. So
yeah,
yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting movie, and
it's weird.
Like I said,
it's a lot of, like you said, there was a lot of sexual stuff
yeah.
wrapped up in this, which I don't know what that means, but it's there.
Well, it's a, here's my take on it.
Mm.
She's using sex to
it
lure
is your
them,
podcast, so
right?
I wish you would give me your take.
Well, here it comes.
All right,
woo-hoo-hoo. It's coming. She has to use sex to draw them in.
Does she have to?
I think so.
I think it's the most efficient way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's why she's the one doing it, not the guys.
Yes.
Right? She uses it to draw them in. She's in a body that is desirable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she understands why it's desirable.
Right.
She presumably experiences the same types of emotions as a human might. So you see her trying out, like, sex and stuff when it's not something that she actually ever really needs to use. Like, she just lures them in and they follow her in, like,
right, she's never had to go all the way,
right? And if she is just being born at the beginning of this movie, you see the scene where she's like just standing in the mirror, like looking at her body, like it's mm-hmm. kind of like she's going, what's
is this
drawing,
yeah,
like what's, why is this drawing people, right? And then, you know, she's confused by her own anatomy,
mm-hmm.
and so it's kind of, I don't know, like from that perspective it's kind of interesting because it's sort of like, yeah, like if people wanted, like, just pick some random feature, if like all of a sudden people were like super obsessed with like your eyebrows, you
yeah.
know, and that's not something that you really are like, okay, you'd be like, what? What is that? You'd look at other pictures of eyebrows. You'd be like, what? I don't get what's, you know, what this thing is. I think that's what I took away from.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think that makes it interesting, kind of the symbol. There it is. Ism.
That was worth waiting for.
Yeah, I think so. I think that does sort of cast it in a different light, hearing you talk about it. I don't know. It doesn't really fix it for me.
Yeah, it didn't. Let's just say there was way more exposition than there needed to be for that purpose, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of artsy shots.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a cinematographer.
I know.
You know that. The listeners don't know that.
All right. I mean, I guess they could maybe think you are from the way you talk on this podcast. You could have misled them.
They don't know.
Catch me if you can style.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Frank Abagnale. Abagnale. Whatever.
Yeah.
Not a cinematographer. I'm not a cinematographer. I've said it several times now, so I'm not a cinematographer. Please stop calling me a cinematographer.
All right, I'll stop. I apologize. I know I've done it a lot lately. I'll stop right this instant.
Okay, appreciate it. I don't know. I know when a shot looks artsy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is artsy.
Yeah, fair enough. This was an artsy film.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
100%.
Limited run. Like, only, you know, this will show in big cities, in very artsy places, probably show at
festivals,
the Lincoln, whatever the place is in New York where they have a lot of these shows.
Memorial.
That's occasionally. You know, they'll have that at the Lincoln Memorial, but most of the time they just show, you know, some old, like, promotional videos for Abe Lincoln's line of sports drinks.
All right, guy, we know Abe Lincoln loved sports and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Gatorade has nothing on Lincolnade.
That's right. He made it first. But I think it was artsy, and I did think that it was, I don't know, I was kind of, like, in the parts where she's not driving around, you know, and there's shots of, like, inside the car and all that kind of stuff, and, like, in the shots where the weird alien stuff's happening,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I really did like the room she would go into.
Yeah, I liked that too.
That was filmed, and, like, how the guys are, like, going into this murky stuff but don't really realize they're doing it until they're already caught in there, and then the scene where he's floating and he sees the other guy in there, and, like... And even the scene in the very end when she's running through the forest and like her skin's coming off, like, that was cool. I really liked the way all that was filmed. I think it gave a good impression of the whole, you know, sort of aesthetic and everything. It's not enough to save it. And that's, I think a lot of times in these movies, they just think, like, if you just make it pretty enough, then it'll be deep, you know, so... I do think there are some deeper things here, but it just, not my thing. Yeah.
I like that it is something that if you're willing to put the time into thinking about, there might be something more to it. I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah.
Not in this particular case.
Well, if you're not, then I saw a movie that it requires way less thought, I think.
Okay.
And it stars one of my crushes. Although a much younger version.
Okay. Jonathan Fichtner.
Nope, not Johnny.
Okay. Mary Lou Henner.
Oof. I do like Mary Lou Henner.
I know you do.
But nope, it's not her either.
Ah, gosh. Okay. This one's way out from left field.
Okay.
And you can feel free to just throw it back.
All right. I'll
throw
it
back to left field.
Okay.
Like a home run.
Yeah. Just get it out of here. I don't want,
like,
this
nope,
thing.
No, not for us. Cubs win. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Rita Hayworth.
That one's getting thrown back for sure.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't know. Who are you talking about here?
It'll be a good old man that we talked about last time on the podcast. Younger version of him, little Wilson Fisk.
Little kingpin action?
Little kingpin, although this is very early Wilson Fisk.
Hi, I'm the kingpin.
Yeah, this shows his early start into crime when he's a police officer and he shoots a rap star.
I'm a crime guy who shoots rap stars. You know?
It's Vinny. It's all Vinny Dinoff.
Vinny Dinoff. Yeah.
Vinny Dinoff. Rio.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that Vincent is really really coming into his own in this movie.
I think so too.
Yeah, I know what movie you're talking about now that you've said it.
Yeah. So you've seen it too.
Yeah.
That's good, because you needed to see it to talk about it on this podcast.
That's planning.
Mm-hmm.
Do the listeners know?
I don't think they do at this point.
Tell them.
It's called Strange Days. Strange Days came out in the 90s, mid-90s actually, 95.
19.
So it is a 20-year-old movie, which makes great discussion, because 20 years have passed, and this is a movie that when it was made, it was set 5 years in the future from that point. So it takes place 15 years ago, but it was made 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we now have the 2020 hindsight of looking
and
back in time.
1515 hindsight, if
exactly,
you will.
Exactly. to see the silliness of it and what holds up and what doesn't and that sort of thing. So basic overview.
I want to hear it.
Ray Fiennes is a former cop.
Ray Fiennes what?
Five. Ray Fiennes 5.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. There's only three guys in it, though. It's weird. He's a former cop. He now is a sort of black market dealer in memories. So, I mean, he calls it... There's a lot of names for it in it, but basically...
Call it the playback.
Yeah. being wired.
Yep.
It's a technology that allows you to experience someone else's emotions from a very specific point in time, mm-hmm. and to see what they saw. And basically just like embody them for however long it was recorded. So you need to have this weird little hairnet thing you put on, and you need to have a little recorder box next to you. And if you got that, you can capture that moment, and then people later can experience it themselves.
Yeah.
So you could go in and you could be a tennis championship playing in a tennis match, tennis champion playing in a tennis match.
Yep.
You could be someone of another gender, another age, another ethnicity, and kind of experience their life.
It's virtual reality.
Yeah. So he's
based in reality.
Despite the fact that he's considered like this kind of low level street guy, he refuses to deal in certain types of memories, specifically like snuff films, essentially.
Yep.
And he has this kind of estranged rocker girlfriend who is dating a manager of a rich rapper, who a very influential political rapper. It's nearing Y2K, so it's about the end of the millennium, and weird stuff's happening, and there's fires everywhere in L.A., as there always are in movies where it takes place in L.A.
Anything
in the future.
Anything that takes place in L.A.'s future, L.A. doesn't look great.
Look, here's the thing. We know that at some point in the future, L.A. is going to be on fire.
Sure.
We don't know when it is.
Nope.
At any given point, we assume it's 5 years in the future, but then five years comes up and go, mea culpa, wasn't this time.
Wasn't this time. Yeah.
5 years from now, though.
5 years. Look out.
That's right.
And we know that eventually Snake Plissken will save it.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least escape it.
Yeah.
Or wait, was that New York?
He escaped it.
Both.
Escape from New York, escape from L.A. Yeah.
He escaped both. That's crazy.
He's like a regular Houdini.
How does he keep finding himself in those places? Those are like, they're opposite coasts. Where was he in between? He was escaping Omaha? What was going on?
I think that's the lesser known middle movie of the trilogy.
You might say it was lost to time.
Mm-hmm.
You might say it.
You might.
So it's an interesting movie because it's one of the first movies probably that I can think of that has so much first person imagery.
Yeah, it's like Doom.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like you're the first person player in games.
Yeah,
but the game of life.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was really interesting. I think that the technology that they were talking about, while we don't have the technology to record our emotions and experiences quite in the way that they were talking about. Virtual reality in the last couple of years, or at least the last year, has become a huge potential growth market.
Yep.
And they're basically using Bluetooth to communicate between the little box that records and plays and the devices that that are connected to the skull.
Here's my favorite thing about the device that connects to your skull.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything that apparently keeps it attached to your skull.
Right.
So the only way to keep it attached to your skull is to wear a really bad wig over top of it.
Well, I think the idea of wearing the wig is to make it more realistic so that if you are seen in the mirror...
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, or someone shows you a reflection of yourself, you don't look like you're wearing the thing.
Oh, is that what
I don't
it
think
is?
It's to keep it in place. I think it's to hide it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of it that way. I just thought it was a really good excuse to wear horrible wigs.
Yeah, it could have been it too. Movie. Yeah, Tom Sizemore. What a great wig he had there.
I mean, you knew it was a wig the whole movie.
Right.
And then when they rip it off, you're like, finally. Also, the guy who is like the lackey of the Sheriff of Nottingham is in this movie.
Yes, I was gonna say he has made
his
living.
He's only ever been in this film.
Cousin, what do we do? We cut his heart out with a spoon. Yeah, yeah, he's the guy that that was
It'll
the guy of Gisborne.
Twit. Yeah, guy of Gisborne.
Guy of Gisborne. He was also Count Richelieu in Disney's The Three Musketeers.
Oh yeah. He had a little heyday there, I guess, in the 90s.
Yeah, and then I guess he was in this. And
this
then,
man, of course, was at the time like 33 years old, but had been smoking for 66 years.
66 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. That's what 1,200 packs a day will get you.
Exactly. And,
it's a
of course,
vaguely European accent.
He's dating the other sister in this one.
Yep.
Which... God bless her. I cannot think of her as any other character except
I know,
that character.
Really, it's really hard.
So when she's like running around with no clothes on, I'm like feel weirdly guilty about
that.
Like
feel uncomfortable.
even though she's fine, you know, very attractive, whatever. But like, I was just like, this seems like a very exploitative show about this poor woman who we've only ever seen in that one role and plays that one character. A very caricaturized, by the way. I don't think anybody ever mentions that about that movie. I always felt like they were making fun of people with disabilities in that movie.
You know what? I saw it maybe once when I was a kid. I couldn't even tell you how I felt about it.
When they play people with like disabilities, especially when it's some sort of like cognitively related disability in movies, there's a fine line between like caricature and accurate portrayal.
Yeah.
And that movie got a lot of acclaim, but I feel was very much a caricature.
Oh, interesting.
And I always thought it was kind of insulting. I don't think unless you like have someone you know who's like has like Down syndrome or you know something like that, you'd really know where the caricature ends and where the
character begins.
Yeah. So, but this is my favorite thing about going back and watching these old movies is that you then have seen them in subsequent things.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, this is a movie she did at some point before or after that movie, but I don't know her from like anything but that movie.
Right.
And so it's kind of fun for me.
For her in particular,
yeah.
Juliette Lewis.
Yes.
Is whom we're referring to.
The other sister.
She was like the it girl for the early 90s.
That's true.
She was in everything from like 1989 to 1996.
Well, she's got like a weird, like she's attractive, but kind of weird looking.
Yes.
And so like it's a weird, like, she's attractive to you, but you also kind of look at her and go like, something's different. I don't really know what it is.
And she's got this really weird voice affectation.
Mm-hmm.
Where she doesn't quite seem to have a very comfortable way of speaking, if that
True.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's comfortable for her, but it sounds just a little bit like the dial is moved just one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
In the comfortability scale.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's interesting.
Here's something about movies from the 90s that I want them to resurrect.
The 1990s?
The 1890s, there was just a train.
That's that was it. That was the only movie.
I want them to bring back the movies in which something's happening, usually in a club or in a festival or something like that where there's lots of people.
Sure.
And there's a band playing. And the band, for some reason,
Keeps playing.
And also is like an integral part of the scene where they keep cutting back and forth between the band. Like you even give a crap about who's playing
right.
Like on the scene. And I also love that we didn't mention this, but in every one of these, I'm not going to call this post-apocalyptic, but it kind of is.
It's semi-post-apocalyptic.
Everybody looks like they're from the Warriors. If you ever saw that movie,
yeah.
The Warriors, back in the day, like, oh, now randomly people are just going to paint crosses on their face because that just makes sense.
Yeah. Or,
like,
it's this weird, like, I think that there was a thing in the 90s, in 90s film.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it all culminized. Culminized?
Culminated?
That's not a word. Let's make it a word.
Okay.
I think it all culminized.
Okay. Cauterized?
In The Matrix.
Mm.
I think The Matrix not only capped the 90s, but it also capped that sort of weird, let's call it fetishism. I don't know that that is a proper term for it, but
right.
I think it's in the way that steampunk is a thing.
Yes.
This is some sort of thing, and I don't have a word for it.
I got you. Yeah, it is.
You know what it is? It's like fetish punk.
Right. You've got Batman Forever, perfect example
yes.
of that kind of thing. You've got The Warriors, which is an early example of that sort
yes.
of thing. You've got Blade or like any of these movies where there's this like underground culture. Now, it's coming back in shows because
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily movies. We're going to talk about a movie probably in a couple weeks, or TV show, sorry, called Orphan Black.
Uh-huh.
And in that show, people are making body modifications, like it's part of the show.
Okay.
So there's a lot of weird looking people that have like modified their pupils and like done weird stuff, and they all seem kind of punk.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's coming back. It's like everything cycles. So it's about 20 years. That's my theory. Everything cycles.
Yeah.
20 years. You know.
Well, it's because the people are always hearkening back to their childhoods. I think that's my theory.
It's a nostalgia.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, the people making movies now were children in the 90s.
Right.
And the people making movies in the previous decade were children in the 80s.
Right.
So we saw a lot of that.
That makes sense.
So that's, I don't know, maybe that's it, maybe it's not. But yeah, I think, and the reason that I would say that this is like fetish punk, if we're relating it to steampunk, is that it always seems to be like all of that stuff seems to be wrapped up in a really overt sexual energy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. They just can't contain themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
They either want to like set something on fire or grind up against the nearest person next to them.
Or sometimes both.
Yeah. Maybe set that person on fire, then grind up next to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I always love that. And I love that, like, you know, the costume designer or whoever's in the show is just like, all right, come here. Put this wig on.
Yeah.
Tear off your sleeve.
Uh-huh.
Let's put this, like, I have this necklace made of teeth. Put that around your other arm and let's just like take this paint and smear it across your face. Okay,
right.
Go. You're done.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Just like there's this weird cohesiveness to all of it, but they're also just like,
but it's also really disparate.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They're all like, I don't know. It must be fun to do that. Much in the same way we're talking about like Hansel and Gretel, about how they did all the weird witches, like the
yep.
different kinds of witches. This type of scene in a movie has to be like either a nightmare for a costume designer or like their favorite.
Or like
thing.
Really fun. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're just pulling pieces and mixing and matching and just, anything that's different but also fits.
Yeah. Harkening back to the technology thing you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
What I like about this movie...
This is my favorite part of the movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Is this technology.
Oh, of course. It's the point of... I mean, it's the central thing that
drives
everything.
Well, it's
the
central mechanism, but it's not the central plot.
That's...
Right? Like,
right.
The plot is about this guy trying to get back with Juliette Lewis and take down the bad guys.
Right. And also figure out what happened with this... Like, why people are chasing, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking about this. I've never written anything sci-fi or done anything sci-fi, but if I ever do, I think I'm going to take a clue from this movie.
Okay.
Specifically that, like, I was willing to grant this movie leeway in every aspect because the only technology that it advanced from 1995 was this technology.
Was this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they explained it. They said, oh, it came from the government, now it's...
Exactly.
Underground, which makes perfect sense.
Exactly. So it's technology that's slightly advanced from what is currently available because the government's got, you know, which is probably not at all true because the government can't really do much of anything. Hi, NSA. but they, you know, they do, they have just enough advanced that they can, you know, monitor this or whatever.
Right. It's like some sort of DARPA side project that somebody sold to a black market engineer.
Because when this movie comes out, let's imagine that there were two versions of this movie that came out at the same time. This one that we saw and another one wherein everything else is advanced. So
yep.
The police cars are advanced. The guns are advanced. There's people like doing weird stuff with computers and like, there's HUD displays and 3D graphics around and all these kinds of stuff. 20 years later, you're willing to accept one thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they've got this one technology. Fine. The rest of the movie is not, but when you have like all those things together, the absurdity of them all existing in 1999 when we're now in 2015
and we don't have any of it.
We don't have any of it is not as it's way worse because you're like, oh, it just all piles.
Yeah, it's
on
a
each
much
other.
Smaller pill to swallow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that is a really good point. They actually portray 1999 a lot closer than 1999 what it was. Mm-hmm. Than probably anything else would have.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I'll buy that. I like that.
So,
quick question for you, though. As long as we're talking about the technology.
Slow answer.
How come you need a different device to record and play back?
That's a really... I didn't understand that either.
I mean, maybe it's like a microphone and headphones, but essentially...
I guess.
Like, it seems like you could do... playback on the same device.
You would assume. I mean, at that time they had things you could record and play on.
Yeah.
Right. So, although, you know, you had like CD players at the time and they couldn't record but could play.
Yeah. But this is mini disc technology. It seems like if you can make inputs, you could make outputs on the same on the same device.
Yeah. So here's the here's my other thing, and since we're always throwing out our likes, dislikes, our theories, etc., my belief is that almost every sci-fi film I have ever seen basically has like usually a good setup, a good idea, has some pretty good world building somewhere in the middle, which is what most of the, that happens, and then the story somehow falls apart in the third act because something within the film, like, it's already defined boundaries for itself, and then it, by painting itself into a corner, it has no choice but to break the rules that it created,
that
in
it
the
established
first part.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that with this movie.
You know, you had mentioned that to me before I watched this movie, and I couldn't quite figure out what specifically you were getting at. So I'm curious to hear it, but I'm going to keep talking so that it's like delayed a little bit.
Well, so at the time I told you that, I hadn't seen this whole film. So I hadn't seen the third
act. Oh, you were talking about something else then.
I was talking about to some extent Under the Skin. In that, like, it didn't know where to go, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I just saw Ex Machina, which is out in theaters.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about that, where also sometimes it's just, like, a letdown. Like it's built up to so much that in the third act, it's like, well, they have to finish it and whatever. Yeah,
okay. Makes
Or here's the reveal. You know you've been waiting. Here's the reveal. This one doesn't necessarily follow that, because it's not necessarily... I wouldn't actually even characterize this that much as sci-fi, because it's not that much different than...
No.
There's not a ton of world building. There's a little bit. There's not, you know... The basic premise is that now we have this technology where we can, like, view other people's memories.
Right.
That's it. There's nothing really else about it. And what would that do...
And LA's on fire.
Right. Well, how would that technology play out in the context of a typical murder mystery?
Yep.
Right. You could just as easily sub that out for... audio recording of someone being murdered, or video, or something like that. It's just that now there's this new technology where you can actually experience what it's like. I think that if you get into like the details of it, it's like there's this weird thing where you can record what you're doing, but simultaneously you can have someone else view what you're viewing, which seemed like a weird feedback loop to me.
I mean, it was a hack, but it makes sense. I think that if you were to set up like a soundboard, you could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like with an audio piece.
I guess. Although it's, you know, there's a lot more involved in this situation. And then it's like, do you still feel, cause so like when he's wired, he's watching, let's say for instance, he's watching a video where someone's having sex with someone else and something horrific's happening during this, the person's being raped or whatever. He's simultaneously like experiencing the like sexual behavior or emotions of the person that's having it happen,
right,
while also being like, no, I can't believe this. Oh, you know, feeling his own emotions. So in this weird feedback loop scenario, this person's also having the same thing happen where they're feeling it happening to them, but they're also feeling it doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it just seems
but
to
I
me
think
like,
that's, I think that's the brutality of,
yeah,
of
I mean,
the
I,
thing.
I get it as a device. I just think like, feedback loop wise, it seems like it would fry your brain.
Yeah.
Sort of like they override these things and that supposedly
fries people's brains.
I don't understand how that weird, like if I were to take the thing we're recording on right now and I were to mess with the input and output on this thing, we might get horrendous feedback, right?
Yeah.
And like that's kind of what you'd expect to happen. You'd expect that person just like go limp because like they're I don't know, because you'd
I
assume,
understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's a premise that is just a premise and whatever. This one just let me down because it was too obvious to me. Like I have to admit that for a while I thought her like boyfriend was involved, but I knew that the Max guy was either going to double cross him or was like,
yeah, I felt like after it had happened, I probably should have known.
Yeah.
I don't watch movies in a way to try to figure them out.
Yeah.
I like to let the movie tell me.
I can't help it.
Yeah, no, a lot of people watch movies that way.
Yeah.
I like to let it tell me. It doesn't matter to me to try to figure it out.
Well, the thing...
I don't know. Maybe that's why I didn't catch it, but I definitely felt like I should have. I felt like I missed something.
Yeah, it just struck me as,
he was, like, a little too eager, or...
Yeah, it's just like, okay, there's this friend, like, so he's got his friend, the woman, who's like this badass, like combat trained limo driver, who's his friend.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She was really good. And then there's his, his friend who just kind of shows up at a really convenient time in the story where it's like, oh, he's also his friend, but he's also tailing his ex-girlfriend. So it's like, oh, okay. Like, immediately I went like, okay, he's a device.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be something. And there's like two scenarios that always happens with, right? One, he gets caught up in, mm-hmm. in whatever's going on and he gets killed. You know, whatever.
And that propels the hero.
Right, exactly. Or he double crosses him in some way.
Yeah.
He either sells him out to the guy or he's having sex with his girlfriend. Like,
yep.
It's just one of the two or maybe both, but it's like, it's just too, so when it happened at the end, it was just kind of like, and the cops, they want you to think the cops are the ones like
driving it.
Like, yeah. Like the cop that like killed the friend, and like, you know, is the one who's like sending in the tapes, but they're not that sophisticated. Like the
right.
way they tried to like burn them in their car and like shoot them with AK-47s. Like they're not so, and they even mention this in the movie. They're like, they're not that sophisticated. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like,
they do say that.
Yeah. So it's kind of like,
they're not the ones pulling the strings.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, that was the only part that really let me down.
Yeah.
That, and they kind of throw in the love story between him and the friend, like
yeah,
at the last minute,
the last second.
Yeah.
They hinted at it earlier, but it was like, I don't know. It wasn't really necessary, and it was...
For a 2.5-hour movie, you'd expect there'd
so
be
long.
Some exposition earlier on
yeah.
to establish that she's at least got something going for him. Not like right before they're going to go do this thing, you realize she's in love with him.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, before this big last half an hour of the film is when she mentions it,
right.
basically, right?
So I stopped watching it. I watched an hour and a half, stopped, and then I watched the last hour. At that hour and a half stop, I never would have even assumed any romantic intention on either side
right.
of those people.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cheap. I have an issue with that character. First of all, Angela Bassett's awesome.
Yeah.
She really kicks some ass in this movie, and she's gorgeous and really cool. They gave her some of the worst dialogue
oh, yeah.
in this movie, and I have a little clip. This is her basically being Lenny, Ray Fiennes Five, his conscience.
I've got what he wants.
This is the original. There are no copies.
Exactly. That's why it's a makeable deal.
Look, this tape is a lightning bolt from God. It's worth more than you, more than me, and more than faith. You understand? It can change things that need changing before we all go off the end of the road. And you do not have the right to use it for currency. So if you go... You go alone. You see, I care about you, Lenny. A lot more than you know. Which makes us both pretty stupid, huh? But if you pawn this tape, you mean nothing to me.
She just gets, like, some of the most obvious lines to... It's signposting. Which
oh,
is something
yeah.
we've talked about previously.
Yeah.
Like, it just... And it's a waste of a great actress...
There's already the moment where he says, haven't you ever loved somebody that didn't return it? And she said, yeah.
Yeah.
And you should, at that moment, immediately go,
oh,
she doesn't
him.
Want him to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's clear. She loves this knucklehead.
Right.
But he, you know, he just keeps making her life horrible.
I also think that she, in the film, plays the role of two people. One is the person who's like, yeah, let's go get him. And the other is the person who's like, no, we gotta stay back and be safe.
Yeah.
And you can't put that in one character.
Yeah.
And it was really confusing her, like, her switches in attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't care for that at all. But man, she kicks some ass.
Yeah. It was cool.
That
I like.
Awesome.
I did like that he was basically just a talker and that she was
yes.
the muscle. So
I liked that too.
That was cool. Yeah, so, you know, it's an interesting movie directed by Kathryn Bigelow. Oscar, did she win a director Oscar for
yeah.
Hurt Locker?
Yeah.
For some production by James Cameron, her
yeah.
kind of famous husband. He's done a few things.
Whatever, I don't know.
So, yeah, check it out if you get a chance. This struck me as one of those movies that I'd watch if it was on, like, TNT.
Yeah.
You know, for a little while.
Yeah. I was really, you know, like you said, I was really more taken with the premise and some of the world building than the story at all.
Exactly.
But fun to see some of these actors in their younger days.
True. Absolutely. So, you know, I was thinking the other day, Dean, about Dirk Benedict.
You can't think about that.
Do you know who Dirk Benedict is? I
have no idea.
Do you know who Templeton Peck is? Does that name sound familiar to you?
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
Do you know who Mr. T is?
I know who Mr. T is.
All right. Well, Templeton Peck was the actual name of Face from the A-Team.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar with the A-Team.
And I was just thinking the other day how funny it would be if on Facebook you were friends with Face from the A-Team. But you know what else is also on Facebook? PrimeFlix Pod.
What?
The podcast.
You know, that's a really handy thing to have.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get, like, all of the updates
mm-hmm.
just in my regular Facebook feed from our website,
yeah,
I could probably just like us then, right?
Yeah. If you like us on Facebook, you'll get it all right in your Facebook feed every time.
That's the only place you need it.
Yeah.
Unless you don't check Facebook.
Right. And if you don't check Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Tumblr, we've got an actual website that's our own, brianflixpod.com.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. And maybe you're, you know, you not so much, Dean, but maybe you, the listener, are there saying, I listen to these guys talk a lot. You know,
66 minutes this time around.
Yeah. Do you know what would be nice is if I could listen to myself talk?
Oh.
And I know that sounds a little strange because you do that all the time.
Yeah, you can just put a microphone to your earlobe.
I'm listening to myself talk right now.
Yeah.
I literally am. And I do that every day, day in, day out. But you know what? Maybe you'd like to hear it in some other form. And you can do that by going to primeflixpod.com, clicking on the sidebar, recording an audio message. And in doing so, you can make it on this very podcast. And in addition to our hearing our dulcet tones, you could hear your own.
Yeah, you could hear your own dulcet tones. Or if you're not into dulcets, you can hear your own really harsh tones.
It's possible. Maybe you sound like Guy of Gisborne and you want to record. Actually, if you do a Guy of Gisborne impression,
we will play it on this podcast.
Please record that.
And over and over again.
I agree. Just do that. And lastly, you know, we like to share the love here. And we would like it if you could share the love for us on iTunes. That's kind of the king. I mean, if we're talking about kingpins or we're talking about, you know, crime bosses, we're talking about being wired, all that stuff.
Yeah.
iTunes is the one holding the key here.
You know what? iTunes is like the Guy of Gisborne of this podcast.
Sort of pulling the strings.
Yeah.
So if you were to give iTunes what it wants and it's hungry for, which is reviews
mm-hmm.
for this very show,
mm-hmm.
you'd be helping us out a lot. You know, we don't charge anything for the show. We do it for free, but we want other people to hear the show.
Well, we do it for the satisfaction.
Absolutely. Because usually I can't get no. You know what I mean?
Hey, Mick Jagger does.
We're like kindred spirits, me and Mick. It's going to be the title of my my biography. Me and Mick, kindred spirits. I can't get no is in parentheses.
I would buy that book.
I know you will because I'll only print one copy.
Give it away for free,
and you'll buy it. Yeah. So, yeah, please, you know, write us a review, do those things, show us some love, tell us what you like, what you don't like. We'll be back next week with another show. I have been Ed,
and I'm always Dean,
and we will see you on the internet.